نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر وقال تعالى لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, it is only the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us the opportunity of sitting and listening to some important discourse on His deen. We know these are very mubarak days. We have been hearing many talks on Hajj, Qurbani, and we have already commenced the first 10 days of the Hijjah. And as it was explained previously, even on last week Tuesday, there was a special program on Qurbani, that these are very, very, very important days. And who has given, who has attached the importance to these days? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got every single right to attach any importance to anything that He wishes to attach to. Allah ta'ala selects whomsoever He wishes, whatever He wishes. Nobody can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah had chosen Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, they were selected people. Allah chose Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the final Nabi. Allah has chosen certain days in the year and certain nights in the year which are very auspicious. Allah has chosen the Quran to be His final book. Allah has chosen His masajid for the places of His worship. Allah has chosen the Kaaba to be His house. There are so many things. Now these are things that Allah Ta'ala has given importance to. And in the verse that I recited, Allah has taken a qasam. Allah has taken an oath. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to take an oath on anything because everything belongs to Him. When He has taken an oath on certain things, then this makes us realize the value and importance of these things. Wal-fajr. He has taken an oath on dawn. Fajr. Of course, the importance of fajr we know. And then walayalin ashr. He has taken a qasam on these last, at least 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. Dhul Hijjah is the last month of the Islamic calendar. And these first 10 days and nights, they have been selected by Allah Ta'ala, chosen by Allah Ta'ala. And Allah has taken a qasam, according to many mufassirin, commentators of the Quran, Allah has taken a qasam on these nights. So as Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Tahmad Barakatuhum, he writes, he says, these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, from the first to the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, have been bestowed upon us with great speciality, unique speciality. In fact, if we think about it, the superiority and the speciality of these days and Dhul Hijjah has already commenced from Ramadan al-Mubarak. Allah Ta'ala has given a strange tartib, a sequence, an order in certain ibadat. So he explains, he says, first of all, he gave us Ramadan and made fasting compulsory in the month of Ramadan. And immediately after Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala followed Ramadan by the initial stages of preparing for Hajj. We find the months of Hajj, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and this first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. This is the period of Hajj. So immediately after Ramadan, Shawwal comes in. And when Shawwal comes in, the days and the months of Hajj have commenced. Al-Hajju Ashru Ma'lumat. So Shawwal, when it comes in, it's the end of Ramadan, when it sets in. And immediately now, the days of Hajj have commenced. So although the main rituals of Hajj are performed in the month of Dhul Hijjah, but it is permissible and in fact desirable to be in ihram from the month of Shawwal onwards. In other words, the person can already start going for Hajj. So if someone wants to go for Hajj, it is permissible for him to enter the state of ihram from the first of Shawwal, but not before that date. In the older times, it took quite long to complete the journey for Hajj. Sometimes it took 2 to 3 months to get there. People who have traveled by ship, Karanja, they will know it took months to reach there. That is why with the arrival of Shawwal, people used to start preparing for Hajj. This means that as the worship of fasting came close, the worship of Hajj started, and it ends in the first 10 days of this month. And the most important ritual of Hajj is Wukuf-i Arafah. And this takes place on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. So for the Hajis, the most important day for them is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. The 9th of Dhul Hijjah is the day of Arafah. If a person is not there, does not make wukuf of Arafah, even for a few seconds even, if he's not present there, then he has missed his entire Hajj. Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who used to come before, may Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat, give him the highest of stages of Jannah. He had mentioned an incident, talking about many years ago, that people had gone for Hajj from Pakistan. There was an elderly person in one of the groups. Unlike South Africans, we just go 2,000-3,000 people. They go in huge numbers. So this one elderly person was gone with the group, and now came the days of Hajj, and they had to leave for Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. So people had taken their transport and they left. It so happened they forgot this elderly person who was there in one of the rooms, in one of the flats, living far away from the Haram Sharif. In that excitement and rush when people are going for Hajj, no matter how many times you've gone for Hajj before, but the days of Hajj, suddenly now you get a bit worried, anxious. So everybody is worried about himself, nafsi, nafsi. And they forgot about him. Only when they came back to make the office, ziyarat, when they opened the flat, they see this elderly person sitting there. Now Allah Ta'ala knows best, niyat is there. But as far as the masla, masail is concerned, as far as the fuqaha will say, that the person was not present day at present at Arafat, so he is not regarded as a haji. According to Pakistan government, if they have their statistics, so many people went for Hajj this year, so we got so many Hajis. Of course, sawab, and Allah Ta'ala knows the intention, there's something else. But as far as the masla is concerned, if a person is not present there on Arafat day, then he has missed his Hajj. And therefore, people who are sick and ill and they're in hospitals, you find the ambulance will come and park off there for a few minutes, a few hours. So those people also get their wukufi Arafah. May Allah Ta'ala accept the Hajj of all the Hajis who have gone. May Allah make it easy for them without any mishaps, without any accidents, without any illnesses, without any difficulties. And may Allah Ta'ala take all of us, inshallah, especially those who have not performed Hajjs yet, may Allah make a means for them to make the Hajj. So this is there's a sequence in the Ibadat. Ramadan, and then came Shawwal, the months of Hajj have commenced. Hazrat Mufti, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi has mentioned that if a person looks at Ramadan and then Hajj, or in fact, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Hassan Amritsari Rahmatullahi, who was the Khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi, he had mentioned that a person in the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala purifies the fasting person. Allah purifies our heart. We're keeping roza in the month of Ramadan. We make tarawih, tilawat of Quran, dhikrullah. So the month of Ramadan, a person's heart becomes purified. So that when the days of Hajj are going to come and the person will now go for Hajj, he is spark and he is clean and his heart is pure now, because he's going to visit the house of his beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like we visit any king in this world, person will take a bath, he'll apply some perfume and he'll wear nice clothing and clean clothing and he'll make himself as pure and clean as possible to present himself before that king. Like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he invites the person, his ushaq, his beloved ones, to come and visit him, or visit his house, that is the Baytullah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies the person even before he comes there. So the month of Ramadan was a period where a person purified himself, and so that he was able to present himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because now he is the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the sacrifice, the qurbani that we are going to be making, it is actually showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shukr to Allah Rabbul Izzat. When Allah Ta'ala gave us the strength to fast during Ramadan and perform then the rituals of Hajj, of course those who are gone for Hajj, and we were able to successfully complete these two worships, Allah Ta'ala wanted us to offer thanks in the form of sacrifice. This is done on the 10th, 11th and 12th of the Hijjah. To thank Allah for giving us the strength to offer these two worships. It is amazing that Allah Ta'ala gave us Eid al-Fitr immediately after the Ibadat of Roza, fasting. But we were ordered to begin Eid al-Fitr by paying Sadaqatul Fitr in the morning on Eid day of Ramadan. Before we go to the perform our Eid namaz, we are told to give our Sadaqatul Fitr. And Eid al-Adha by sacrifice. Of course, you're not going to sacrifice the animal before you go to Eidgah. But the Hadith of Rasulullah says, that person who has not purchased his animal and he has no intention of making qurbani, whereas qurbani is wajib upon him, Rasulullah says to that person that don't even come close to the Eidgah. Rasulullah doesn't say don't come to the Eidgah, no. Don't even come close to the Eidgah. That you have the means and still despite all that, you fail to purchase your animal and you have no intention to make qurbani. Rasulullah says don't come close even to the Eidgah. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So again, the superiority of these 10 days Rasulullah has emphasized in the hadith where he said that from all the days in the year, of course ulama then, some ulama say that after the days of Ramadan, that the most superior days wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that his ibadat is made and a'mal as-saliha are performed are these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, days and nights of Dhul-Hijjah. The Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, even going out in jihad? Rasulullah said, yes, even. This is greater than even going out in jihad in the path of Allah. Except a person goes in the path of Allah and he becomes shaheed and he has lost everything. Then of course his martaba is different. But ibadat done during these days, they are so virtuous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than any other day in the year. So a person who makes ibadat during any one of these nights, not all the nights, any one of the nights, a person makes all the nights well and good. But a single night, if a person makes ibadat during these 10 nights or these 9 nights, then the person gets a sawab of Laylatul Qadr. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is so kind. Ramadan is finished and Laylatul Qadr is over. Yet we find there are occasions Allah says you still get the sawab of Laylatul Qadr. And a person who keeps roza during these 10 days, then he gets a sawab of keeping roza for an entire year. 1 year sawab you get. And on the day of Arafat, if a person keeps roza, then Rasulullah said, his previous year's sins are forgiven. And the year that's still going to come, those sins are forgiven. But ulama will explain, and what is meant here are only the minor sins. The minor sins. Major sins, as we have repeatedly emphasized, that for that, a person has to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person has to beg Allah ta'ala. He has to feel the remorse of having committed those sins. He must feel ashamed of committing those sins. And he must abandon those sins. And he must make a firm promise to Allah ta'ala that he will never go back to those sins. So for major sins, a person has to make tawbah. But minor sins, like a person makes wudu. When a person makes wudu, then for each limb that he washes, the sins, all his minor sins are actually washed away. And when he takes a step, comes to the masjid, for every step he takes, then one sin is forgiven, and one rank of his is raised in Jannat. A person performs namaz also, the minor sins are all getting washed away. So like this, are these Mubarak nights, where a person should make his ibadat. Whatever ibadat the person can make. Dhikrullah, tilawat of the Quran, some tasbihat. During the day a person can keep roza. But it's important that we don't look down upon others who are not fasting because these roza are not compulsory. These are not compulsory. And shaitan is so chalak, as we say. So cunning. What he does, he brings in us riya and ostentation. So now because we're keeping this roza, we'd like others to know also. And there are various ways of making others know. We don't have to go into the detail. So it's very important that we have sincerity in all our actions. And roza is such a thing that a person gets great reward, because unlike other ibadat, it is more easy to have more sincerity in roza than other ibadat. Person reading namaz, everybody can see him reading namaz. So he can pray to show people. Roza is something internal. You won't know until the person tells you himself, I'm keeping roza. Now, sometimes the person will encourage his wife and children, that's another matter. But when we are keeping these roza, then do it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't look around and say, that person, I thought he is very pious and he's not keeping roza. We do not know what are the circumstances and what are the conditions prevailing in each person's home. It's not farz, it's not wajib. Person keeps it, he gets the sawab. Our Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah should keep on emphasizing this. In fact, many of the brothers are here. We were there in Madinah Sharif one day, and Mondays and Thursdays, we know the people keep roza, mashallah. The Arabs, alhamdulillah, they've got this quality in them. We must also try, there are many brothers who keep Monday and Thursday in this masjid also. We must try and imbibe this quality. Allah give us tawfiq. But there you find many people keep roza. So it is still a few minutes before Maghrib, and they put the sarkhans there on every Monday and Thursday. And in fact, in Madinah Sharif, I think throughout the year they have the sarkhan. People keep roza throughout, besides the days when fasting is not permissible. So we were sitting there, and some brother who had his dastarkhan, he insisted he brought some dates there. Whether he thought we were fasting or not. And Maulana told us then, are you fasting? We said no. So he said, eat now. Don't pretend that you're fasting and put up an act. Nothing, we're not fasting. So now he made us eat the same time. I was a bit reluctant at first because I thought, now everybody's thinking, what is wrong with us? Are we opening our fast beforehand? But he made us eat. Now you see where his mind went. So that is what you call Islah. So in fact, Mawlana told his brother that we're not fasting. He said, no, Sheikh. Yes, for everybody. Fasting or not fasting. So many people will sit because they enjoy the dates of Madinah Sharif and that kahwa and that bread. So they will sit there with those who are fasting and eat. Nobody will stop the person. But Mawlana wanted to teach us a lesson that we're not fasting. So now at this moment we should go eat. There's nothing wrong eating, and don't pretend as though we are fasting. Nonetheless, we come back to the Mufti Taqi Sahib's discourse. He says there are two special forms of ibadah during these days. And the first one is Hajj. And of course, now this doesn't apply directly to us, but those who judge, who are gone. And the important thing he says, that for example, Hajj cannot be performed at any other time of the year. Other forms of worship can be performed any time. Salat, besides the five times for Salat, we have Nafil Salat, can be performed any other time during the year. Ramadan, besides Ramadan Roza, you can keep Roza in the rest of the year. Zakat, you can discharge, but also we have Sadaqah, charity. But two forms of worship are such that they can be offered only at specific times. One of them is Hajj. The rituals of Hajj, like staying in Arafat, spending the night at Muzdalifah, pelting the shaitan, the jamarat, can be performed in these specific days only. Otherwise, they're not considered as ibadat. If on any other day, anyone decides to stay at Arafat, say we're going for Umrah in December, and somebody goes for Ziyarat, he decides, hey, let me spend one night here, or the whole day in Arafat here. Or let me spend one night in Muzdalifah. This will not be counted as ibadat. At any other time of the year, staying at Mina or doing Rami would be of no use. So Hajj has to be performed in the specific days appointed by Allah Ta'ala. Only then will it earn us reward. And the other worship is Qurbani, and this applies to us. For those of us who have not gone for Hajj, for which Allah Ta'ala has given us 3 days of Dhul Hijjah to make Qurbani. The 10th, 11th and the 12th. If anyone wants to perform sacrifice outside these 3 days, it is not possible to make Qurbani, to get the sawab of Qurbani of Dhul Hijjah. Yes, you can make Qurbani like that, give sadaqah, no problem. If someone wants to give sadaqah, he can slaughter a goat, distribute the meat, But sacrifice for qurbani can only be performed in these 3 days. This is how Allah Ta'ala has given distinction of this time of the year. And then there is this famous hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ about not cutting the hair and the nails. Now people get confused. The simple matter here, it is mustahab. For those who are going to make qurbani, it is mustahab, which means it is desirable. It is not compulsory. It is not wajib. It is not fard to follow this. And what is it? Where a person won't cut his hair, he won't trim his nails during these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, for that person who is going to make qurbani. So after sighting the moon of Dhul-Hijjah, the first thing we are required to do is something strange. Rasulullah ﷺ said that when any one of you has to perform sacrifice and he sights the moon of Dhul-Hijjah, then he should not cut his hair or nails. Now this is an order from Rasulullah ﷺ, but it is mentioned that this has got the status of desirable. It is mustahab. And why is this? Ulama have explained it is to create a likeness, a similarity with the Hujjaj. It seems strange that we have been ordered not to cut the hair and nails after sighting of the moon. But the thing is that Allah Ta'ala has appointed a great worship of Hajj. And alhamdulillah, a huge number of Muslims are in the process of performing this worship. It is a time when it seems like the house of Allah Ta'ala has such an attraction that is pulling the followers of Islam from all over the world. Every moment, thousands of people are arriving and gathering around the house of Allah Ta'ala. These people have been ordered to put on the uniform, the ihram of Baytullah when they are beginning the journey. And then there are many restrictions that apply to them in ihram. For example, one cannot wear stitch clothes. He cannot apply any perfume. He cannot cover the face. There are so many restrictions. He cannot cut his hair. He cannot trim his nails. So Rasulullah ﷺ has done us a favor by giving us this order, although we are not gone for Hajj. All those like us who are not near Baytullah at this point in time have been advised to adopt the same likeness to the pilgrims in order to gain Allah Ta'ala's blessings and mercy. And this likeness can be attained by not cutting the hair and the nails. Of course, nobody is asking us to go in ihram now. So cutting the nails and hair, we should refrain from it. It's desirable. He says, Mufti Taqi Sahib says, our Shaykh, Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullahi, was the Khalifa, was the Thani Rahmatullahi, and he explains, he says, see, with Allah Ta'ala's mercy is coming on all those Hujjaj there. You think he'll deprive us also, who have not gone and whose desire is there to be there for Hajj and to make the, every moment we want to know how the Hajj is, anybody go and ask them for dua, and how, what's the crowd like now, and how many people are there in Makkah and Medina, and what the atmosphere must be like. People have gone to Aziziya. So our heart is there. So he says, when we are told to adopt some likeness to the pilgrims, it means that when Allah Ta'ala's mercy will be showered upon them, some of it may also be given to us. So when in Arafat Allah showers His mercy upon His servants, some part of it may also be granted to us if we also do the same thing or we imitate them in this aspect of not trimming the nails and the hair. Then he says, secondly, these days are so great in superiority that one day of fast is equal to the fasting of one whole year in terms of reward. And we mentioned in person who keeps roza on Arafat day, then he gets a sawab, or all his past year's sins, minor sins are forgiven, and the year that's still going to come, the minor sins are forgiven. Now again, people get confused. In here in South Africa, 9th of Dhul-Hijjah will be on Saturday. 10th of Dhul-Hijjah is Eid day here in South Africa. Right now in Saudi Arabia, they are one day ahead of us. So Arafat day will take place there on Friday. And Saturday is the Eid. But 9th of Dhul-Hijjah and Arafat for us will apply on Saturday. So it doesn't mean if the Hajjis are gone Arafat day on Friday, that is our Arafat day, no. They will be making the wukuf in Arafat, but the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah here for us, based on sighting of our moon, then it is here on the 9th, that is Saturday, this Saturday inshallah. And of course the takbirat that we recite, that was commenced on Saturday Fajr time inshallah, the men will read aloud, and the women also, it is obligatory upon them, they will read softly. As Mufti Taqi Sahib writes also, that generally the masjid, people don't forget because somebody remembers and everybody also begins to read the takbir. But women are reading all alone, so you see they tend to forget. Like we know they forget many other things. So he says what they should be doing is they should write a small piece of note and leave it on the musalla. So the moment they finish the salat, they will remember. Ulama have explained, if a person forgets to read this takbir, he should make istighfar later on. This takbir are very, very important for us to read. What are we doing in this takbir? We are praising, we are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. We are glorifying Allah Rabbul Izzat. We are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are declaring that there is no person worthy of being worshipped beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. This whole exercise of qurbani, what is it? It is to gain the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show gratitude to Allah, to praise Allah Rabbul Izzat, to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make his takbir. This is a demonstration of the grandeur of Islam. All these are known as sha'air of Islam. How we have adhan, this is a shi'ar of Islam. Like that, qurbani is a shi'ar of Islam. These are all shi'ar. They are rites, R-I-T-E-S, of Islam. And we have to show importance to these things. So the takbir also will be reciting. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Ramadhan mentioned, it's strange. When we are told to make read something aloud, then many people are reading softly. You don't have to scream, but this should be audible. It should be loud. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Even if you're not reading with Jamaat, for some reason a person came late, or the person has to read at home, or at work, wherever it is, even then a person has to recite this takbir aloud. The fourth deed, which is also the most superior during these days, is the act of sacrifice. Like I said, it cannot be performed any other time of the year except the 10th, 11th and 12th of the Hijjah. Then he says the essence of Islam is obedience. Therefore through Hajj and sacrifice, Allah Ta'ala wants us to understand the essence, the haqiqat of our deen, the ruh of qurbani, that no action is of any value, neither any place, no, any particular time until Allah Ta'ala says so. When Allah says this is important, when Allah gives it any value, then it has some importance, then it has some value. Allah says, if we ask you to do something, it will become a virtuous deed. If we stop you from doing it, then you have to abide by that. And if you do it, it won't bring any reward. In fact, you will get sin for it. If you take the example of the plains of Arafah, you may spend 359 days of the year except the 9th of the Hijjah and you won't get any reward. Though it is the same Arafat, same Jabal Rahmat. This is because Allah did not ask us to go there on any other day. If He asks us to come on the 9th of the Hijjah, then we will have to go there only on the 9th of the Hijjah. Only then it will be called worship and ibadat. Only then it will be rewarded. The main thing is that neither the plain of Arafat, nor the time, nor the action itself are important. They do, however, become important when Allah commands us so. Leave the Masjid-e-Haram. You all know how superior it is to offer salat in Masjid-e-Haram. One salat is equal to 100,000 prayers. Those who go for Hajj get the reward of 100,000 salat for every prayer they make, they offer in the Haram Sharif. In Makkah. But when the 8th of the Hijjah begins, Allah Ta'ala commands them to leave Masjid al-Haram. In other words, they have to leave the 100,000 sawab and they must spend their time at Mina. So the time for Dhuhr of 8th of the Hijjah till the Fajr of the 9th has to be spent in Mina. And all this time there is no special worship in Mina. What do? In Mina we read tilawat, we make our own zikr and dua. And all this time, there is no special worship you are required to perform. There is no rami in Mina, there is no wukuf kind of thing. You just have to offer your 5 times salat there in the plains of Mina. And the reward will be given for obeying the command, not for offering prayer in Masjid al-Haram. But if someone says that since there is no special worship to be performed in Mina, why not just go to Makkah of a prayer in Masjid al-Haram, it will not bring him reward of even one single prayer. Because he has disobeyed Allah Ta'ala and he did not complete the rituals of Hajj. At every step in Hajj, we can see that we crush the idols that live in our hearts. Every step of Hajj. The lesson is that no action in itself is of any worth, not even the place. Obeying Allah Ta'ala's orders is most important. Hazrat Mullah Muhammad Hassan Amra Sayyidina has mentioned that this whole Hajj, what is it? Darbari Khudawandi Mihaziri. A person is presenting himself in the darbar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, whatever the command of Allah is, he has to obey that command. Allah says, now you go to Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafat, then he has to just listen. Allah says, you be ihram, you must be in a disturbed condition. This is the lesson of love. That is Hajj. Qurbani also. It is the love of a person has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whatever Allah's command, he obeys Allah Ta'ala's command. He is blind to everything else besides the command of his beloved. Whatever Allah says, that's what he'll do. So he says, obeying our orders is important. It has blessing and rewards. When Allah says, when we order not to do something, then not doing it brings rewards. The whole process of Hajj reflects this philosophy. Imagine there's a pillar in Mina. Millions of people throw pebbles at it. Someone may ask, what's the purpose of everyone throwing pebbles on one pillar? What has this pillar done to you? This is insane. People make these objections. The answer is that what Allah has ordered us to be obeyed, there is no point in questioning it, finding wisdom or logic in it. Remember, whatever Allah has commanded us is full of wisdom, full of logic. But with our little brains and intelligence that we have, we will not be able to fathom this logic and wisdom. Neither are we asked by Allah Ta'ala to find out what the wisdom and logic is. And that is our problem. When we try to probe into the wisdom and logic behind things, and when our minds cannot comprehend those things, then we begin to object. And who are we objecting against? Against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are not laws made by ulama or scholars, no. These are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This insanity brings joy and earns Allah ta'ala's pleasure. Hajj is a training which teaches us again and again that we must stop depending on our limited intellect. Stop worshipping those idols that reside in our hearts. And we should submit to the will of Allah. Hajj and Qurbani is only submission. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is told to sacrifice his son. Not to any other person, he won't understand the logic behind it. I mean, how can a person sacrifice his son? As the Tani Ram has explained, that it's easy for a person to take his own life away, if he has to, but it's not easy for him to take the life of his beloved child. It's very difficult. Take his own life, maybe it's easier. But to put the knife on his own son and to slaughter his son, it's not possible. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala gave this very strange command to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He could have commanded something else. But he tells him, go and sacrifice your son. So he did not question the logic behind it. He didn't ask what's the wisdom behind it. Immediately took his son. Yes, he questioned his son. And the reason for that was to take the imtihan of his son. That is my son befitting to be called the son of Khalilullah? And we find exacting Ibrahim alayhi salam, like father, like son, they say. And he immediately, if alma tu'mar, oh my father, don't delay. Whatever Allah has commanded you, you must bring it, carry it out. So submission, and therefore Allah used this word of submission, falamma aslama. When both father and son surrendered, they submitted before Allah Rabbul Izzat. And we have heard many times, as Tani Ramadhan has mentioned, what is the ruh of Qurbani? What is the real jaan of Qurbani? What is the essence? What is the main lesson that we learn in Qurbani? And that is going against our nafs. Destroying our nafs, killing our nafs. So both submitted, they surrendered. And we know the story, we have heard so many times, Ismail tells his father that, you know, let me put my face facing the ground so that I do not see you. slaughtering me. Perhaps my face might show a crying face, you will feel sorry and you will then stop from carrying out this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, remove my qamis, my kurta, so that it does not get smeared with blood. When you take my kurta back, my mother sees it, obviously cause her pain, and gives salam to my mother. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, he tried to slaughter Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah ta'ala had commanded this knife. And again, the lesson is that we, Allah has given us the command to use means in this world. We expect it to use means. Right now I'm using this microphone. It's a means, permissible to use. But our barosa, our tawakkul, our yaqeen and tawakkul should not be on means. And here Allah shows us that the knife, the function of it has the quality of slaughtering and cutting. But Allah remove that quality from it. And Allah commanded not to slaughter. Ibrahim alayhi salam thrown in the fire, fire burns. Allah says, don't burn him. So this is the Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, Allah's power. So he says, the lesson from sacrifice, that the same thing in qurbani, it is the same philosophy, because qurban comes the word qurb. Qurb means closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, it's all to do with love. Loving who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The word qurbani from qurb. By obeying Allah's qurb. لَيَّنَا لَاللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. It's not the meat, it's not the flesh and the blood when it that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no. وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. As the Thani Rahman explained in Bayan al-Quran, what is taqwa there? He says that is niyat qurb and ikhlas. The sincerity the person has. I'm doing it because my Allah has commanded me to do so. Even though I may not understand the logic behind this. People see, why are you slaughtering so many animals? You're going to cause a problem in the economy of the country. There'll be a scarcity of animals. Simple answer to them is that it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may not know the logic, etc. Whatever Allah has commanded, He knows very well. For weddings and other functions, personal functions and leisure and holiday, nobody questions these things. Nobody says, why are we spending so much of time on other things? But we'll find an excuse not to make qurbani. And some people might say, why don't I give money in lieu of the animal? No. If Allah say you slaughter an animal, and remember, the animal is not something which is maqsood. That is not intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is actually maqsood is the taqwa and the fact that you obeying Allah's command at the time when Allah says slaughter the animal. You don't make any choo-chira, we say. No ifs and buts, no question. My Allah has commanded me, so I am doing that. And then ulama have mentioned that why do you read Allahu Akbar when you're slaughtering the animal? Why are you making takbir of Allah again? Because Allah, you are glorifying Him. He has given you that opportunity, and He has given you the tawfiq, and He has given you that zeal and that fervor of placing that knife. Otherwise, we all have tarahum in us. We have mercy. Unlike the people who are zalims and who find such pleasure in taking the lives of innocent people and killing innocent ones. Allah has kept tarahum in the hearts of a believer, of Muslims, that we have mercy. It's not so easy just to take an animal and to slaughter, especially those people who keep the animal for 1 year. Kabir, ulama, I think Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Madi Rahmatul Ali, and other ulama who kept the animal for the whole year. Great ulama they were, sheikhs, they were murids and students. But when they slaughtered the animal, they actually cried after that. So much of love and attachment they had. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatul Ali and ulama have mentioned that Allah gave us the tawfiq of making the sacrifice. It comes in the hadith, before the blood can fall onto the ground, Allah has already accepted the animal. And therefore, although Sharia tells us we can keep 1/3 for ourselves and give 1/3 to the poor and give to our friends and relatives, etc., if a person after making qurbani, he decides to keep the whole animal for his own self because he wants to have his bride and he doesn't want to give anything to anybody else, then too is still permissible. Because Allah does not want the animal. Allah wanted you to obey His command. Of course, Sharia tells us that give poor people, even non-Muslims you should give. And this is the mawqa. Feed the indigenous people and feed our non-Muslim neighbors. Show them this quality of Islam. But if a person still keeps the whole animal for himself, the qurbani is still made. But Allah has already accepted the animal before the blood could come onto the ground. There are so many things that are important to discuss. Just a few minutes, inshallah. So you see, slaughtering your own son defies logic. But still, as I explained, that a person should not look at the logic. And we see in the lesson of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and Ismail alayhi salatu salam that they carried out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the command of Allah supersedes everything. And this is something that we require to understand. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, you know, we wear mozas, the khuf, leather socks, and we make wuzu, and we make masa on the khuf. So we make masa on the top part of the khuf, not the bottom part. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, if our deen was based on logic and aqal, then we would have made masa of the bottom part of the khuf, of the sock, because that what would get dirty. Why must we do masa on the top? So you see, his deen is not based on our own logic. Not based on our own logic. This is the hukum of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentioned, does qurbani harm the economy? He says, no, the actual spirit of qurbani, sacrifice, is to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those of us who are making qurbani, of course, here to homes or relatives or friends, but do it happily. Ulama have mentioned that sometimes we're doing it now just for the sake of doing it. That should not be the spirit. It's not just like a ritual, we just want to get over it. We should show that love, that muhabbat, we should see the animal. And of course, we're not going to go into the detailed masail of how we should slaughter the animal. Brothers, we should have by now sufficient experience over the years of slaughtering the animal. Please, for Allah's sake, do not give the cleave to that animal. In most cases throughout the world, people are now busy videoing the whole thing, and we want to show everybody the animal is there on the ground, is tied. And we're giving it so much of taklif, especially those people who are slaughtering bulls and cows. Then it becomes a big tamasha, a big drama. We're not realizing, instead of getting sawab, we're getting the curse of that animal. When Sahabi was sharpening his knife in front of the animal, do you know what Rasulullah told him? You want to give this animal two mouths? You want to kill the animal twice? When it's the actual slaughter? But before that, you're already instilling such fear? You're already sharpening the knife before the animal? No. So sharpen you have your knives, sharpen all that you need. These are all things Sharia teaches us. And how we should do it, by now we should know how to slaughter it. If we don't know, then get somebody who's experienced. And ladies or mothers and sisters who will be slaughtering again, it's not my fatwa or my thing. This is the teaching of Sharia. Rasulullah told Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha to be present there when her animal is being slaughtered, but you should make sure that mahram men are around her, not ghair mahram. Because she's placing her hand there, other men are standing there, there's so much of intermingling. Then brothers tell me, where's the whole purpose of taqwa and qurbani and spirit of sacrifice? We want the pleasure of Allah, then let us abide by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those commands will become incumbent upon us. So make those preparations where the mother, sister or the ladies, they have this mahram who are there, and they slaughter it. It takes not even 1 minute to do it. If they can't, then at least some space, some place where they can see and observe. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah should keep on mentioning Eid, the same thing. Now, as much as we would like certain things to take place, but again, lesson of submission. Whatever Allah Ta'ala says, there is khair for us. We cannot add on something on deen, or subtract something, just because it suits us. No. He gave a beautiful example here. He says, why is it sinful to offer 4 rakats in Maghrib? Maghrib Fard is only 3. Somebody decides today, no, days of Zil Hijjah this, and today I'm going to need 4 rakats of Maghrib Salat Fard. He won't get sawab, he'll get guna for it. This is an innovation, a bid'at. One example he gives, he says there was Shah Abdul Aziz Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, who used to visit my father, as a Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he should come and visit him. So this Shah Abdul Aziz Sahab was one of the senior members of Tabligh Jamaat, amazing person. Once he came to see my father, he narrated a dream that he had seen. He said,
he saw Mufti Shafi Sahab rahmatullahi standing next to a blackboard teaching something to people. So he said, Mufti Shafi Sahab wrote there one on the board. He asked, what was that? People said, it is one. The number one. Then he added 10 on the right. People said, he asked people, what is it? They said 10. One more zero he added, they said 100. Another zero he said, they said 1,000. So then, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab then said, with every additional zero, wrote one, and on the right hand side, another zero, another zero, another zero, another zero. He said, with every additional zero, the number increases 10 times. Then he erased all the zeros. And this time he put a decimal point before one. And asked the people, they said it is 1/10 of it. Then he put another zero, asked them again, he said this is decimal zero, or the 100th part of the number one. So we see 0.001. He continued adding more zeros to the left of one. Then he said that this shows that each zero on the left is decreasing the value 10 times. And he said the zeros on the right are adding, increasing the number 10 times. He said the zero on the right are the sunnah. Sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. increasing the sawab 10 times each. And he says, while the zeros on the left are bid'ah, innovations. Apparently all zeros look alike. All zeros are the same. But those on the right are sunnah. Because that is the way prescribed to us by Rasulullah s.a.w. Whilst the zeros on the left have no virtue, no reward, instead they will decrease the reward, the actions are wasted. This is the actual difference between sunnah and bid'ah. Now how beautifully he explained it. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. I was going to mention so many other interesting things that I came across. Hazrat Thanin Rahmatullah has written a whole kitab on Hajj and Qurbani and the hikmat and the ruh of Qurbani. And one beautiful point he had mentioned, and I think we'll just terminate with that point, inshallah. Brothers are tired also. Many brothers have kept roza. So we won't. But the important point here is, when we're making this qurbani and these days, have that azmat of these days. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That person who respects these rites of Allah, these rituals that Allah Ta'ala has kept, then this is the taqwa of the heart. And we must have that spirit of qurbani. When you're making the qurbani, have the spirit of the qurbani. Teach our children what qurbani is. You know, we all claim that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us claim that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gives an example. He says that if there's taklif, if a person is traveling, agar raaste mein kharch ke kam ho jane se koi taklif pesh aayi ya kisi ne tang kar diya, so he says that ishq that we had previously, because of difficulties, that love and the ishq we have, it diminishes. He says there was a person, ek shakhs ki hikayat, it's a story of a person. It's a hikayat, just a story. Ki wo ek roz wo ek darakh par, darakh ke niche, baith kar dua kiya karta tha. Under a tree, making dua. Ya Allah mujhe khinch, Allah pull me, Allah pull me, Allah mujhe khinch. So one person going past, he heard this. So one day he went very early and he climbed the tree. And this other person comes down like every day, Ya Allah mujhe khinch, Ya Allah mujhe khinch. He said, he got love for Allah Ta'ala, so he wanted to be drawn by Allah Ta'ala. Jab usne dua ki, ki Allah mujhe khinch, so the other person who was in the tree, to usne aahista naram aawaz se kaha, ki eh mere bande, ye rassi apne gale mein dal le. So he said very softly, oh my servant, he threw a rope down. Just tie this rope around your neck. Aur rassi mein phansi banakar latka di. So he tied it on a branch, set it down. Bara khush hua, this person got very excited. Ki dua qabool ho gayi. Bas aaj main Allah miyan ke paas pahunch jaunga. Now I'm going to reach my Allah. As he tied himself, the other person is now pulling. So obviously the rope is going to tug on his neck. Gala gat kar mar jata to khuda taala ke paas hi pahunchta. Usi ne khushi khushi rassi gale mein dal di. اس نے کھینچنا شروع کیا. جب یہ زمین سے ایک دو بالش بلند ہوا, نائز از بینگ لفٹڈ ریز فروم دا گراؤنڈ, تو رسی گلے میں پھنسی اور گلا گٹنے لگا. نا اس طرح چوکی ہم اینڈ اسٹرینگلی ہم, تو تڑپ گیا, بگین ٹو شیک اور کہنے لگا, یا اللہ مجھے مت کھینچ, واللہ ڈونٹ پل می, میں نہیں کھینچتا, آئی کانٹ بی پل, واللہ ڈونٹ پل می. آفٹر نریٹنگ دس اسٹوری ہی سیز, بس ذرا سی تکلیف میں سارا عشق ختم ہو گیا. لٹل بٹ آف تکلیف اینڈ آل دا لارڈ کریمز آف یا اللہ, آئی گوٹ معرفت آف اللہ, آئی گوٹ دا عشق آف اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی. یہی حال ہمارا ہے کہ محبت کے سارے دعوے اسی وقت تک ہے, وین ڈو وی میک دوز کریمز وی لو اللہ, وی گوٹ سو مچ آف محبت فار اللہ, جب تک آرام سے گزرے. وین وی گوٹ سو مچ آف کمفرٹ ناؤ سٹنگ ان دا مسجد, اینڈ وی کین کریم سو ایزیلی وی لو اللہ تعالی, بٹ پٹ اوور سیلف ان سم ڈیفیکلٹی, سم پریڈیکمنٹ, اینڈ دین یو سی ہاؤ مچ آف لو وی ہیو فار اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی, دین دیٹ از دا ریئل ٹیسٹ. To see we have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true ishq and muhabbat that we should be displaying. And these are all occasions for us where we can show the real muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you make the qurbani, do it with sincerity, with ikhlas, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for show ostentation. Many people again qurbani, it was just to brag about the type of animal, how much of money they spent. So do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do it solely ikhlas. That is the meaning of لَيْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُمُّهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. There was one very interesting story. I know those brothers who need to go, if they are excused, no problem. But there was a nice story that I read here. He says, there's a story here, he says, baz aise bhi hai ki qurbani to karte hai magar mahaz barai naam hi karte hai. People make qurbani but just for the sake of name. Khain Allah maqbool hone ke qabil hai, ho ya na ho. He says, there was a person in Kanpur, he was a blacksmith. Unhone qurbani ke liye ek aisa bakra tajweez kiya jisme sabhi aib the. He bought such an animal that was had all the type of defects you can think of. So ek shakhs ne kaha ki mia aisa janwar kyun zaba karte ho, hey bhai, why are you extorting such an animal, so much of defects? So lohar bola, wah, hamari biwi sahiba ka fatwa hai, my wife give me this fatwa, I can slaughter this animal. She give me this fatwa, uski qurbani jaiz hai. Ek shakhs ne kaha, ذرا ہم کو بھی دکھلانا چاہیے, شو اس فتوا کہ آپ کی بیوی نے کہاں سے فتوا دیا, ویشی کی دس فتوا فم. وہاں گھر گیا, بیوی سے ذکر کیا کہ حضور کے فتوے کو بعض لوگوں نہیں مانتے. He called his wife, he must be a sheikh, that people are believing in your fatwa. So tell this brother also, make convince him also, انہی بھی قائل کر دو. وہ اتفاق سے اردو پڑھی ہوئی تھی, she knew Urdu. So there's a kitab which you do in the madrasa in fiqh, Sharhul Wiqaya. It's a fiqh kitab. So she had the Urdu translation of this kitab. So she took out this kitab, foran Urdu ka Sharhul Wiqaya nikal kar diklaya ki dekho usme likha hai ki jis janwar ki tihai se kam dum, kaan, naak wagaira kati ho, wo jaiz hai. So what she showed, that animal whose tail one third is cut off and nose one third is cut off and ears one third is cut off, then such an animal is permissible to slaughter. So she saw this masala, that if anybody had an animal, for example, where one third of the nose is cut off, permissible, one third of the tail is cut off, permissible, one third of the ears, if the animal one third is cut off, so it's permissible. She went and found such an animal which had all these three defects, and because she is so ajayis, she said, this is the animal we must slaughter. You see? So this is what she did. So, wo jayiz hai, is bakri mein chuki har cheez tihai se kam kati hui hai, everything is less than one third year. Aur ye aib muasir nahi, liyada jayiz hai. Is shakhs ne kaha, ke bhai, ہم شروع وقایہ تو سمجھے نہیں, علماء کے پاس چلو, we have an understood, say, go to the علماء, ask them and show them this animal, یہ جانور ان کو دکھا لو, پھر وہ جو حکم دے, then understand whatever fatwa they give, listen to them. لوہار کہنے لگا, بس صاحب ہم کو تو ہماری بیوی کا فتویٰ کافی ہے, کسی عالم کو دکھلانے کی حاجت نہیں, بس اس لوہار کو صرف قربانی کا نام کرنا تھا. You see, he said, my wife's fatwa is sufficient. His maqsad was just to cut and slaughter an animal and just absolve himself from that wujubiyat. But that's not the rule of qurbani. The fazilat of qurbani and all those things is much more. And may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to get the most suitable animal. If you're not sure, final from the muftis, is the animal, is the defect, is it right, jaiz or not? Learn these masail. It's all simple masail. There are pamphlets available. Read those masail, whatever is necessary. And let us try and gain that real taqwa, ikhlas. And our niyat must be qurb ilahi, gaining the closest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala make it easy for us of qurbani throughout the world. There are so many countries in the world, villages, really, when they make qurbani or nafil qurbani, as much as possible, send it to all those places. There's those people that qurbani, when is made of an animal, you will see children from the villages coming with the little pots, and there's one or two botis they will get, and they get so excited, so happy. I can still remember when I went to India many years ago, in some relative's house we went, so we were hungry also, they took out samosas. As we finished the samosas, they said, this keema that we had, the mince, was, remember last year you all sent some money for qurbani, nafil qurbani, then the mince, one year we kept it and now we gave you. You see, when we went to Mona Mazar Sahib, we saw these children, it was almost 1 year finished, and the last bag of two or three packets came out of botis for the children to have. Now we have so much, they don't eat the also, we have already ordered prawns and so many other things, and so much of delicacies we have. But that's a day to show tarahum. Go out, take your children to those poor people and give them, let them share, enjoy. We might as well, everything we see on qurbani day, you see the ladies who are coming out, that legs, make sure is there, and put that parcel and everything I want, the ojri. Yes, you are entitled to have all that. Those poor workers are working, and don't pay those workers with just the qurbani meat layer. No, you give them the proper wage, what you agree with. You can't just give them qurbani meat as a wage. No, give them over and above all that. They work so hard, give them besides the salary that you're going to give them. How much of meat are we going to eat? For the whole year we're going to keep our deep freezers. Give the people, Allah will give us more inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.